Hello, good morning, and a very warm welcome to anybody who is new here, any visitors, excuse me, anybody attending church here for the first time, and especially to members of the John Bunyan congregation who are worshipping with us this morning. We do hope you will join us for refreshments after the service in the Mayo Hall. The day continues with interactive worship at 11:30. And then after that service, there's a bring and share lunch in the Mayo Hall. Even if you haven't brought anything, you are all, of course, very, very welcome to come along. And then this evening at 6:30, there's reflective worship with communion. If you look at the service sheet this morning, on the back page, you will see that in theory, on Sunday the 3rd of September, there's an open garden session at Katie Frost's garden. Please do note that that has been cancelled in the meantime, which means, in fact, that the open garden season has now drawn to an end for this year. And finally, just a little alert. There have been a number of thefts in the building recently, so please do keep your belongings with you at all times and report anything suspicious or anything that has gone missing. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God. Come to the living rock. Come, all you followers. Come, all you seekers. Come together and let us look for a key to a new way, a key to life. We join to sing One More Step. Let's join together to pray. Let us pray. When the questioning is open, God is praised. Where the uncertain find a voice, God is praised. Where the kingdom is revealed in action, God is praised. Where the church reflects Jesus, God is praised. We confess, O God, that sometimes the way that we live, whether as communities or individually, does not match our high ideals. And we ask that you would forgive us. Give us the time and the inclination to change our lives. And the good news is this, that the grace of God can transform us and the whole world. And we are set free to use our gifts in faith. And for this, we are thankful. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Bless you. Now, I don't know whether you people from John Bunyan know this, but you're here on a very cataclysmic day for the life of Kingston United Reformed Church. Whoa, everybody else is thinking. Emily, get yourself up here. This is Emily's last day with us. Big awe, big awe. It is awe. Right. Now, I've told Emily today, all the gubbins that we come up to her, and she's highly embarrassed, she's just got to suck it up. It's not going to be easy for her, but she's going to have to do it. Now, I've decided that what we're going to do is we're going to have the present giving mega mix. And if you're not staying for lunch, you're going to miss some of it. But that's your choice. So, Emily, the first thing... it's a card which many of us have signed. You'll notice I didn't use all of us. Many of us have signed. I realised that I haven't. That's about standard. Yeah, you're right. So please, if you haven't signed it and you'd like to sign it, she's not running out the door the minute the service is over. So please sign. But on behalf of us, we present you with a card. Hooray! And can I just say, how fantastically right, isn't this? Whoa. If my family were here, they would go, you didn't do it, obviously. That is fantastic. Thank you, whoever did it. We want to say thank you very much. Thank you. Would that it were so easy. What we're going to do now is we're going to use some of Emily's experiences for... our prayers of thanks. I'm going to go get my notes because I wrote this. So let us pray. Stand and I'll come and join you. So let us pray. We remember when Emily joined us as a student to help with the Girls' Brigade that used to be in Tudor Hall. So we pray for all those students who are getting ready to leave home, that they would be able to be generous to the areas where they go and to give of their time. We remember how she has been with us as our full-time youth worker for 10 years. And we pray for all those who are involved in youth work. Much of it unthanked, unrecognized. And we thank God for those who have been involved in the youth work within our community through the years. We pray to you, O God, giving you thanks for the range of things of which Emily has been a part of. The Teddy Bear Club, activity days, camp, Greenbelt, brigades. And we thank you for our ability to play games, to learn things. We remember the tough choices that we have made through the years, to stop meeting in Tudor Hall, to stop the Teddy Bear Club, to stop having Holiday Club and change to activity days, to move from brigades to pilots. Thank you, God, that you are with us when we have to make decisions that some will find tough. Give us the courage and the confidence to know that people may well be able to see beyond the immediate to a bigger plan, even though they find it difficult. We remember that Emily has brought much to the life of our church beyond her youth work, for friendships and relationships, for the cooking at Christmas, for cook and eat, for the leading of worship. Thank you, God, for the gift of Emily's time among us. We ask for your blessing on her in her new place of work. Thank you that with you we know that things do not stay the same, and that with you there is always the potential for something new and growing. So bless us in our life together, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray. Amen. Now I will let you go and sit down. Whoa! How mean, how excruciating. Let's join together to sing, I'm Building a People of Power. I'm building a people of power, and I'm making a people of praise. the prophet is speaking a word that divides the people. Those who would rather stay in Babylon are not receptive to the idea that now is the time to return to Jerusalem. The first reading we read to us by Liz Cook. No, you see that? By Robin Hall. Not looking at all like Liz Cook, I have to tell you. But the good news, mind you, there are women called Robin, aren't there? Yeah, there are. But this is a chap called Robin Hall.
This is from Isaiah chapter 51, beginning at the first verse. The Lord says, "Listen to me, you that want to be saved, you that come to me for help. Think of the rock from which you came, the quarry from which you were dug. Think of your ancestor Abraham and of Sarah from whom you are descended. When I called Abraham, he was childless, but I blessed him and gave him children, and I made his descendants numerous. I will show compassion to Jerusalem, to all who live in her ruins. Though her land is a desert, I will make it a garden, like the garden I planted in Eden. Joy and gladness will be there, and songs of praise and thanks to me. Listen to me, my people. Listen to what I say. I give my teaching to the nations. My laws will bring them light. I will come quickly and save them. The time of my victory is near. I myself will rule over the nations. Distant lands wait for me to come. They wait with hope for me to save them. Look up at the heavens. Look at the earth. The heavens will disappear like smoke. The earth will wear out like old clothing, and all its people will die like flies. But the deliverance I bring will last forever, and my victory will be final."
I bet you can't guess who's doing the next reading. Peter exclaims when in conversation with Jesus, and Jesus declares that this is a piece of divinely inspired wisdom. And this is Liz Cook.
The reading is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Jesus went to the territory near the town of Caesarea Philippi, where he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" "Some say John the Baptist," they answered. "Others say Elijah, while others say Jeremiah or some other prophet." "What about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "Good for you, Simon, son of John," answered Jesus, "for this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. And so I tell you, Peter, you are a rock. And on this rock foundation I will build my church, and not even death will ever be able to overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom in heaven. What you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven, and what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." Then Jesus ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Thanks be to God.
Mm. Are you too comfortable there? Or do you want to move? You can move. We've journeyed with Peter over the last few weeks. That's soggy Peter, who nearly drowns as he tries to walk on water. And here he is, Peter, who declares who Jesus is. "You are the Messiah," he says. "You are the Son of the living God." Two things to say from that. The first is, it's not that then he is taken to sit on a golden chair and from then on he gets everything right. This is the same Peter who will run away from Jesus in Jesus' hour of need, who with the other male disciples will run away, and who will deny that he knows who this man is. But he has worked out who Jesus is, and still he is the man who will fall asleep in the garden. And this is good news for us, because it's something that we recognize for ourselves. Because we also can have high moments and moments of crass stupidity. Today, I have the sense that I am going in God's flow, and me and God, we're side by side, and it's just peachy, and it's just going right. And then other moments in my life, I know that I am doing things that are completely contrary to the will of God. I open my mouth, and the minute the words are said, I just think, "You idiot." And you can look at me and go, "Oh yeah, well that's just you, but we're actually..." No, I don't believe you. I think it's an experience that we all have. And I think when we get to heaven, we'll recognize it more and more. That moment when suddenly you get it right, and then suddenly you get it wrong. And that is Peter's moment. So he declares that this man who has been his friend, actually, "You are the Son of the living God." A man who's been his friend, he's been drinking and eating with this man, he's been hanging around with him, he knows what he's like in a fight. And he says to him, "You are the Son of the living God." Wow. We've heard this too many times. We've lost the zip of it. And then later, he lets Jesus down. And for us, the two things together are what make it an important piece of scripture. The declaring, and then later, the messing it up. The second thing that comes from that scripture is Jesus' reaction to it. "Whoa," says Jesus, in the Leslie Charlton paraphrase. "Whoa," says Jesus. "Simon Peter, God is at work through you recognizing me. God is at work," says Jesus. It's not something that you just thought of yourself. The fact that you can say that is a clear indication that God is at work through you. "God is at work through you, Simon Peter. And on you I'm building my church. And all sorts of things about heaven are really dependent on you, all that, but still, you're going to mess it up." God is at work through people. What an amazing privilege that is. Now, sometimes we are so busy doing our church work that we forget what an amazing privilege it is. We're so busy thinking, "Oh, blimey, I've got to bake that, get there, fold that, play that, whatever, sit here, stewarding, whatever, you know, I'm sure nobody in your church ever thinks of such things, but you know, whatever your equivalent is." And you're thinking, "Oh, blimey, I've got to hang around with this person and I think they're an idiot and I'd really like to tell them what I think, but I know God thinks that would be wrong, and I've got to use my money for these causes when I actually wanted," you know, whatever it is. But we forget what an amazing privilege it is that God, who made the universe, is actually working through us as we work the sound system, hand out cups of coffee, stick around in the company of somebody, choose to do this job, not that job, in the rest of our lives. God, who created the universe, is at work in us. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? And just before anybody says, no, not me, I'm too old, I can't do it, I would regale you with stories about the impact that people have in their nursing homes. I would regale you with stories of the impact that people have as they are dying. Impact that they have on the rest of the community. I could tell you a story of an old woman who was completely dependent on her neighbours, but actually as a result of that was the centre of a community. Nobody is too old, too disabled, too intellectually challenged, too linguistically challenged to be a part of this work. And God, who creates the universe, is at work in us. Now, the other thing is that Simon Peter doesn't just think to himself. When Jesus says, who do you think I am, Simon Peter? It's not Simon Peter thinks. Do it this way. You are Jesus, the Son of the living God. And then actually says, he actually has the courage to think it and then to say it. He speaks it in words. Now, sometimes for Christians like us, we are so busy into, how you do the faith is you show it in action, you behave in such a way, you organize your church in such a way. You know, we major on that. That's our long suit. But there are times, brothers and sisters in Christ, where we actually need to say it in words. Say it in words. And somebody says to you, Jesus, who's he then? Or, church, what's that about then? Archie, you go to church. What's that about? Why do you go to church? And in that moment, you haven't got, I'll just get a book. In that moment, an answer is expected. So the first thing I want to say to you is, you need to practice that. You need to give a bit of thought to that. You need to think what you would say if somebody asked you, why do you believe in God? Why do you follow Jesus? Why do you go to church? You need to give a bit of thought to that. Because if it's never happened to you up to now, it will happen one day. First thing. The second thing to say is that when somebody asks you that, you say, well, my understanding of ecclesiology is that and you come up with a whole lot of poncy big words which sound like, I've just got an answer from a book and I have read it and learnt it. They will think. And if you sort of half fumble an answer and you say, I believe in God, I don't understand everything, and I follow Jesus because when I read about him in the scriptures, it makes my heart sing, and I believe he's the Son of God because of the cross and because he came back to life, and I'm part of the church because I know it messes up and it's done some terrible things in the past, but it's a group of people that are trying to do something amazingly different. And that sort of fumbling but heartfelt and real. Do not think you've got to be given a great big huge answer, polished answer. People expect and want the reality of your experience, and that chimes with them much more than the slickness. So don't feel you've got to be slick to be real and to be helpful. Nod at me if you think I'm right. That's four of you. Life is good. And that all leads on back to the prophet Isaiah. How are people going to make a choice about the faith? Isaiah presents these people with a choice. Some of them are not comfortable with this choice. They don't want to hear what he's got to say. They certainly don't want to be leaving their lovely life and heading off back to Jerusalem, where they know it's all going to be chaos and difficult. But how are they going to know that there is a choice unless somebody presents it to them? Now, I do not believe that it is right to be, the minute anybody says anything, would you like a cup of coffee? Yes, in the name of Jesus, I would. I do not think that is helpful. You know, I do not think the minute anybody says anything to you, you always have to bring in Jesus. That is not a good thing. They're going to think you're nuts. Don't do it. But I do think that the challenge of people of faith is to be listening to the Spirit when the Spirit says, tell them about me, tell them about you, God, tell him that. And believe me, I do know that thing well. Obviously I ate something for my breakfast. I'll just ignore that voice in my head. But there are times when the Spirit is calling us to speak. And how are people to make a choice unless somebody has the courage to go beyond convention and speak of the faith? I'll leave it with you. Let us be still. Eternal God, when we feel afraid and when life feels insecure, when we are anxious, help us to remember that you are our rock. When we're tempted to give up or turn elsewhere, cling fast to us and hold us close until we feel steady again. Help us to know on this day the things which cannot be taken from us and which are your eternal gifts to us, that death is defeated, that life and love triumph, and that goodness will last and forgiveness is sure. And on these truths, as firm as rock, we will be, and nothing can prevail against us. Thanks be to you, our God. Amen. So we join to sing, Tell Out My Soul. Some of you know, a couple of weeks ago, I went away on retreat. And what I do when I go on retreat is I have a house up in Whitley Bay, and I go up there. And I don't go to a retreat house, but I do go on retreat. And the reason it works is because, thank you, Jesus, the Anglican Church up the road, St. Mary's Monks Eaton, have a daily act of worship. So I get up, I go there, and then I just think, what do I do today? And you've no idea the bliss of such a wacky question. What do I do today? And so one day I decided that what I would do is I would go to a pub that I've never been to before. I've driven past loads of times. And when I left the pub, I was walking down, I saw this church on a hill, which I'd never been to before. And I thought, I'll go on there. And then I went there, and I went around the graveyard. I'm a Celt, that's what we do. And then I walked back. And some experiences on the route. And so what I'm going to do is tell you some of the things and lead us all in prayer. Okay? So let us pray. So I walked to the Grey Horse in Backwith. And there were two of us in there. Lord our God, we pray for those publicans struggling to make a living. The temptations that they face to make moral shortcuts, to sell to those who are underage, to buy alcohol from unknown sources. And I left and walked towards Whitley Bay and saw the church on the hill in Ersden Village. And the church was locked, so I walked into the cemetery and a notice that said about Hartley Memorial. And I passed a grave that had the date of the deaths of four of this family's children who had died in one family. Lord our God, how do some people keep on going? And although such infant mortality is unusual in the UK, we know that it happens in other places of the world. So we pray today for those who will watch their children die. And in this old cemetery, there were discarded bottles of cider. And we pray for those who are battling addictions. And in the middle of the old cemetery, there is the impressive Hartley Memorial. For those who died in an accident in Hartley Pit, 207 men. Pray for those who work in dangerous jobs, for which we benefit. And I was struck that in the village of Ersden, there are probably not 207 men now. For the issue of urbanisation, for those moving out of the countryside into the towns and the cities, and the impact of that on us. And I wondered how much that impacts with issues like the riots. And the 207 men who died in the accident in Hartley Pit were aged from 51 to 10. And around the world, children still work. And I walked out of the graveyard and into the village and saw their war memorial. And on one side it is still granite, rough-hewn, and one side is the memorial for those who died in the First World War, one side is for those who died in the Second World War, and one side is smooth, blank, as though waiting for the next one. We pray for peace, that young Afghani and Iraqi, as well as American and British men and women, could grow to old age. And as I left the village and walked through the fields, I heard explosions, charges to frighten the birds. For those who farm, who keep us in food and manage our land. And as I'd walked around the church building, I saw a sign pinned on the door saying that all the lead had been removed from the roof. For those living with the irritation and grinding annoyance of low-level criminality, having to battle to keep on going. And we pray that those involved in crime would stop. So I walk and I thank God that I can. And I think and I pray and I think about what the difference is and I know, but I can't explain it. And I keep going. And I thank God for this beautiful temperate country where I live. And I realize that I have walked for an hour and I have met no one. And it is empty. And I walk and I am thankful. Lord, we pray. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. Bless the money that we bring, Lord Jesus. Bless the lives that we offer. Our time, all of it, our money, everything we have, they are gifts from you. Help us to use them wisely. Lord, we pray. Amen. So I picked the last hymn not because it is Maggie's favourite and she would have me sing it, would have us sing it every week. Not because of that, but because it is a Charles Wesley hymn. And then I thought, well, as well as the gift of Emily among us, the Methodists have given us something else as well. The hymnody of the Wesleys, so we sing, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. God has given a purpose to each one of us. Each of us has our part to play. Each of us is a part in the body of Christ. So let us go and play our part, and let us go in peace and serve God with faith. Amen. Now, my friends, We're going to do... Have a seat, please. We're going to... as I said, the whole Emily...
We're behind you.
Great, in you come. Mega mix thing. Right, the first job. Here we go. Dun, dun, dun. Come and cut, Emily. Ceremonial knife. Should we, just a minute, before, should we let people see it? I'll hold the penny from. Don't drop it, please. Yeah. All right, star. Good, cool. Yeah. Jade, Daddy did this, yes. Richard, scorer, did this. Aha. So that's great news. Now Emily's left, we've got somebody else marked as the cake man. Hooray. Right, go on. Cut it. Just stick a knife in and then reel to the business. Round of applause. It's cool. And that's what we can eat when we're having our coffee. And for now, this is Jane Scorer's work. Hey, it's been a real family effort. To go, that's shutting down. All right, okay. She meant to press the sound button, she pressed the off button instead. I'm sure, Ray, you could tell us stories about the number of times Ray has had that trouble with his computer. Yeah, it's true, it's true. If you want to know any computer tips, raise your man. Do you get that little sort of twinkle in the eye? Yes, good. Pardon? All his advice is free. And useless, but free. You know what you get, what you don't pay for, and all that stuff. Yeah, we don't buy one, we don't want one. Right. Oh. I spy. We're on the way. Oh. Please, if you have got to go, don't feel trapped. I'll stand at the back and shake your hand by, you know, I'll do that. That'll be my... Thank you. Big thanks to Jane for putting it together. Tea and coffee that way, please. On you go. Yes.